Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of warmth there for good old Richard O'Brien. One texter said, isn't it a case that he signed away his royalties and never made any money out of Rocky Horror? He signed away the film royalties, I think, but he clearly does make money on the production still, as evidenced by the fact that he tolerated me on the phone for about half an hour from New Zealand there. I don't think he was doing it for the good of his health, in fairness. OK, so listen, we're going to stick with a kind of a filmy theme, and actually we're going to do this. We're going to talk about Christmas movies, OK?
In November. But,
yes, but in an intellectual kind of a way. This is an intellectual discussion. So Grainne Humphreys, Festival Director of Dublin International Film Festival, and she's kind of like a movie boffin, a kind of a pointy head. So this is not just like we're doing a Christmas movie review. And Grainne, we're going to break this down into what makes a great Christmas movie. Before we start, what have you got against Love Actually?
Where do you start with that? I mean, I think the thing is, a very important part, I think, of Christmas movies is where you saw them and your relationship to that first image. And I actually saw it in a cinema in Amsterdam, in the one of the great world cinemas called the Tuschinski film. It's an Art Deco. It's really beautiful.
See, I told you this is going to be an elevated discussion, people.
But that's the problem. I was at a documentary festival and I went in because it was coming out and I sat down and this horrendous, cynical, shallow piece of, you know, such, I suppose, you know, cynical is probably the best word for it from my head. Yeah. It's 9 different stories. All the characters are horrible. It's shallow. It's incredibly creepy. It's a story about people basically kind of sort of obsessing with kind of innocence.
It is creepy,
and
I suppose.
The men are awful. The women are barely there. And it's filled with all these soundtrack sort of like moments that kind of people go, oh, it's lovely and it has this warmth to it. It's not. It's deeply cold and badly made and it's too long.
Yeah, and I'm sure sandwiched between 2 Iranian documentaries, it probably came across as a bit saccharine. Okay, we could have played a happy clip from it. We're going to play a sad clip. So this is Emma Thompson's character, Karen, confronting her husband, Harry, who's played by Alan Rickman.
Imagine your husband bought a gold necklace and come Christmas gave it to somebody else.
Karen.
Would you wait around to find out if it's just a necklace or if it's the necklace and love? Would you stay, knowing life would always be a little bit worse? Or would you cut and run?
Oh, God, Brendan.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to gather myself. That is so, so moving. So moving. It's interesting what you say about it's about where we first saw them or whatever. Yeah. Because in a way, like Christmas movies, it's almost nostalgia for our own imagined Christmas or something.
It
we watch the same ones all the time. Like
absolutely. I mean, I actually broke it down. My pointy head gone into overdrive. Yeah. But it broke down into films about Christmas, right? So those are films in which Christmas is a central part of the story. So you've got White Christmas, A Wonderful Life, Muppets Christmas Carol. You've got Elf. You've got Meet Me in St. Louis. You've got Bad Santa. So those are ones that we think about. They have Christmas at its heart, right?
Yeah.
And
Elf
a lot
is
of
great,
them,
isn't it?
Elf is amazing.
Just going to drag down the discussion.
Elf is probably going to be my favourite, I think. Elf is one of the ones that I absolutely love.
What is it about Elf?
I think it's actually got that combination of the kind of, you know, first of all, it's got a well-known star, but it's got a huge heart to it.
Yeah.
It's a simple story. I mean, it is that kind of lost boy, do you know what I mean, trying to find his dad. So it is a kind of perfect Christmas movie, but it's funny and it's got this emotion and it's witty and it doesn't presume that everybody is already 4 sheets to the wind. You know, it actually keeps you engaged and it's clever. And most importantly, I think you can watch it again and again and you won't feel the need to go off and check the turkey or to wait until you see the second half on another channel, which is, I think, what we do.
Christmas
movies are often watched in kind of thirds or quarters you catch up with it on another channel in a couple of days' time.
You're so right. I like, for some reason at Christmas, I like to take in about 40-50% of Black Narcissus every year, wherever it turns up. Yeah.
But
so that's the pure Christmas
talking
about.
Okay. Then there's the other one, which is the one that's set at Christmas. So that's a film like Die Hard, for instance, which is set at Christmas, or Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
And actually, I read a great thing that Joel Silver, who produced it, set Lethal Weapon at Christmas because he knew it would be shown at Christmas and the residual checks would come in. So there is a cynical part to this that you could be very clever about when you make your film.
And they have... Has Die Die Hard become a Christmas film?
It
now,
is a Christmas film. Yeah, you'll see it. It's on Christmas the lighthouse. Film. And one of the things that's happened is if we'd had this conversation a couple of years back, we'd be talking about films only shown on telly. Now they're out in drive-ins. I think Love Actually is on a couple of days if anyone wants to go. But the Lighthouse is a wonderful selection of movies, as do the IFI. So it's not just we're watching them together on telly over Christmas, but we'll actually make them an event to go to see them in the cinema.
Yeah. So, and of course, as life becomes more and more complicated, the idea of going off to the cinema and watching Die Hard, practically sucking your thumb, like it's like this got going back into the childhood, isn't it?
I think that would be one of the ones I'd go to. The Apartment.
Are you a Die Hard fan?
I would be a Die Hard fan. I think it's brilliantly made. I think the action sequences absolutely stand up. And I do think that nostalgia part is part of it.
And
I remember seeing it in the cinema. Yeah, well, it don't know if it makes me feel Christmassy, but I like seeing a film that's well made at Christmas, because I think that's part of the problem. Okay. An awful lot of them, Brendan, are terrible. I mean, we could do the flop list.
Okay, before we get to that, let us all get the Die Hard Christmas feeling for a minute.
Here
this is the trailer, actually. It's all the best bits put together.
It's Christmas Eve in L.A. But a team of terrorists have their own holiday plans. But the one thing they didn't plan on was New York cop John McClane.
Got invited to the Christmas party by mistake. Who knew?
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, mother...
He's an easy guy to like.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And a hard man to kill. Bruce Willis. Die Hard.
I love that. The lovely 80s voiceover. Everything about it.
But they're really playing up the Christmas.
They are.
The terrorists had Christmas plans. He invited the Christmas party. Christmas. So clearly a bit of cynicism at play there. Okay, so what are the, if we take your average Christmas film, what are the kind of tropes or cliches that we like to see in all of them?
It seems to me that they're based around two, right? One seems to be the Christmas Carol, which is the errant, man predominantly who falls to his lowest point. And then at the end is redeemed by either family or a stranger or in, you know, a very famous example.
Or the magic of Christmas.
The magic of Christmas comes and transforms his life. And then the other one is where you have the family and the family comes back together. And similarly, there's just a broader range of dysfunction. And suddenly, as I said, over the Christmas dinner or over some kind of carol set piece, there's a moment where they suddenly realise what they actually see in each other.
So what are the good dysfunctional family Christmas?
I think The Family Stone is actually really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that really works on that level. There's another one, actually, and I was going to mention a couple of foreign language ones. There is A Christmas Tale, which is a film with Catherine Deneuve, which is a wonderful film about family coming back together.
Yeah.
An old film. Fanny and Alexander, the Ingmar Bergman film, which is on in the lighthouse. But I would say that one of the things that I think is really important is at Christmas, we also remember that films were made before, you know, the year 2000. And we can go the whole way back to the 40s and 30s even, and watch films as families with people experiencing it at different stages. I have very fond memories of the rows that used to go on around Dr. Zhivago or Lawrence of Arabia, or realising that My Fair Lady and those other films that are on at Christmas are over 3 hours long. You know, that there are these kind of moments where a family comes together to watch a film and have different perspectives on it, you know.
So that the grandparents or the parents or whatever went to the cinema in the day when this was the hot new thing.
And how their relationship to Julie Christie or Omar Sharif, for instance, is completely different to a younger audience.
Have you any pointy-headed theory on why we like those kind of old epics at Christmas? Is it purely because we have time?
I think, to be honest, it's actually a missed opportunity, because I think there's lots more films that could be put on at Christmas that people would discover, and there'd be a new generation of them. On one level, they're 3 hours long. It seems to be, I'd say, they're fairly low down in terms of cost. So I think you'd probably be able to get a lot of them. And I think there are expectations, Brendan. I mean, if you aren't making the dinner watching High Society, for instance, or you don't have Out of Africa on, for instance, on a Sunday afternoon, you kind of feel like you've missed it. And I mean, Michael Dougherty's list of films that it'll be in the RTE guide, you know, is very, you know, eagerly kind of like charted and kind of scheduled, you know what I mean? And I think I said it to someone the other day, and then life intervenes. You know, you have your schedule and you have your list, and then suddenly people call over, and then suddenly the entire schedule's screwed. You
yeah,
know?
But you will find that if you set to record them all on your box or whatever, you do end up with like a kind of a history of film there for
which
those dog days after
exactly,
Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. Get really focused, and you can make it into March, even April, maybe if you're planned.
Now, you are suggesting that Eyes Wide Shut could be a good kind of a palate cleanser from all the Christmas emotion. How is Eyes Wide Shut a Christmas film?
Eyes Wide Shut is set at Christmas, as is Gremlins, as is Carol, the wonderful film with Cate Blanchett, and The Apartment, which is probably my favourite Christmas movie, which is a really dark black comedy from Billy Wilder, brilliantly played by Shirley MacLaine and Jack Lemmon, set at Christmas, and has at the very, very last minute, for those people who know it well, has a beautiful, possibly the perfect finishing line, closing line of a film that gives you that flicker of hope. Otherwise, quite a dark and dour film about you know, life and people's, you know, disenchanted and lonely. It's a film about loneliness. So I love that film because I think it is exactly what you said. It's a palate cleanser to that schmaltzy, overwhelming confection kind of sugar high that you get from those other films.
Yeah, but Home Alone's great, isn't it?
Home Alone 1 and 2 okay, with our right. Wonderful Brenda Fricker.
So it's like the Godfather.
I've never seen, but I think Home Alone is, you know, I mean, those are the films that we, you know, we will end up watching again and again. And, you know, Macaulay Culkin has never been better.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I know this wasn't a part of our contractual arrangement, but would you do up a list of some of the stuff you've mentioned there? Because I'd say people were trying to grab it and
absolutely,
write it down and everything,
absolutely.
And we'll stick it up on the website
because
there's a lot of great
long
ideas there.
List.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, Gráinne Humphreys, thank you very much. Why don't we go into the break with a little clip of Home Alone just to get the Christmas mood started?
Where are you going? We're going to miss the plane.
When the McAllister family left on their Christmas vacation,
did we miss the plane? No, you just made it.
Yeah!
They forgot one small thing.
Kevin!
Police in the northern suburbs are on the lookout for a pair of burglars who are calling themselves the Wet Bandits.
We know that you're in there.
It's Santa Claus.
Yesterday, he was just a kid. But tonight, he's a home security system.
You guys give up or you're thirsty for more?
Email brendan@rte.ie.